Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss. Yes. Tata Martino is coming back to be the next manager of your Five Stripes. Atlanta United is reportedly in the final stages of an agreement to set to return to Atlanta. We know what happened the first time around. Can that magic be replicated? Let's find out on the Wade4.com hotline. Let's bring in our guy, Jason Longshore, all things United. You know we go to him, Longshue on Twitter, and the team's analyst on match day. Jason, your initial reaction to Tata's return, are you surprised? I know there had been some bubbling rumors, but does it make sense? So are you surprised, and does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you're talking about somebody who had success here, no question, has had success in the league during his time in Miami as well. You're talking about somebody who's very well respected in the game, and he was available. So, you know, there was always, once the decision was made to move on from Ronnie Dyla and Tata Martino was out there, there was always the possibility that a conversation would be had. Now, what's fascinating is the reporting in early October, and this is, again, before the Atlanta job was open. So I don't know the timeline of everything behind the scenes, but early October, probably around the time of the LAFC game for Atlanta United, the reporting out of South American top-tier sources was that he had a verbal agreement with LAFC to take over when Steve Cherundolo departs at the end of the season. Now, verbal agreement is very different than a final agreement, but that was the reporting before this job opened. It's fascinating how everything has shifted. And look, it's still being reported at this stage. I think you've been around Atlanta sports long enough, and especially how AMBSE operates. Like, stuff does not get out. There are not leaks generally. Right. And when you're dealing with these sorts of situations and it starts to get reported, it's usually coming from outside the area. It's usually coming from, you know, whether it's agents or people in other countries that are starting to link these dots together. And this stuff had been bubbling up a little bit over the past couple of weeks. So does it make sense? Yes. Am I surprised? A little, just in the sense that there had been at least some form of a relationship built with LAFC. And it is tough the second time around. It's never a guarantee that coming back to a place you've had success, you have the same success. It doesn't mean you can't, because we've seen both sides of it play out. But is it the exact same? No, you're not building a team from scratch. You have a team that you're inheriting. And my assumption would be that seeing the roster and seeing the players that you have and knowing there's going to be some changes, because every coach makes some changes to make the team theirs, Tata Martino looked at this roster and said, I can make this work and I can go there and have success, because he's not coming here just to be here. He's coming here to try to win, and he sees a team that he can win with.
You led me perfectly into my next question, which is, as it stands right now, before changes are going to be made, as you just acknowledged, how close do you think this roster is in the image of what he wants to do?
It's a good question, because there's some elements that are going to have to change. And I think they would have changed with anybody. Whatever manager you bring in was probably going to look at the fullback situation and want to upgrade there. Brooks Lennon is in an option year. Ronald Hernandez is in an option year. That's your two right backs. So there's an opportunity to go bring somebody in that either you've worked with or you know and you value. A wing, you're going to need to get some more production. I feel like we talked about it a lot this season about the other wing spot. Now, that leads you into a conversation about Alexi Maranchuk and Miguel Almiron and how you play them together. And there's a variety of ways to do it. I think the idea of getting hung up on formation and position and saying that players play one and no more than one and teams play one formation and no more than one, it's just factually incorrect. Can they both play 10? Yes. Can one of them play on the wing? Yes, both of them can, actually. You have all kinds of flexibility think back to when Tata Martino was here in 2017 and 18, we typically saw a 4-3-3 shape with two holding midfielders behind a 10, two wingers, a pretty basic shape. But in the playoffs in 2018, he shifted to a 3-5-1-1. Again, this is why formations are overrated. Like, he went to three center backs as the key, and Miguel Almiron wasn't really playing as the 10. He was playing more as a second forward. Can you find different ways to utilize two very talented players in Almiron and Moranchuk? Yes. Do you need wingers to do that? Possibly one of them can play on the wing. Possibly you see a shape that is becoming very common right now with teams playing a forward, which right now would be Lat, and you're going to have to get production out of him, and that's going to be one of the biggest challenges for any manager here. And two tens behind him. You can play a 3-4-2-1 with Lat in front of Almiron and Moranchuk. That could be fascinating to see, and that's a shape and a style that we've seen Tata Martino play over the years. It's going to be very interesting to see how he envisions the puzzle pieces fitting together. I think, as we talked about as the second half of the season unfolded, I feel like you upgraded the spine. Bartosz Ślisz had an amazing season. In AM Ekhi, Juan Berrocal, two very solid center backs. Deion Gregersen, if he can stay fit, is another very, very good center back. I like Steven Alzate next to Bartosz Ślisz. I feel like that group as a base in the middle is very good, and that's something that Tata Martino is going to want to build around if he's going to take this team over. It's the way you deploy Almiron and Moranchuk, what you get out of Lat, and it's got to be more than you saw this year. And then depending on how you fit the puzzle together, what other pieces do you need? Is it wingbacks? Is it fullbacks? Is it a winger? That's going to be a very interesting chalkboard session with Chris Henderson and Tata Martino and how they see this team coming together for 2026.
For those who aren't familiar, obviously we know the success early on. What is his leadership style like?
It's a good question, because I think there's an image of Tata Martino of a very laid back, very relaxed, calm manager on the sideline. And I think that's just an image. You know, he's a very intense guy. I think you've seen it during some of his other stops. I think you hear the stories behind the scenes about how he's very forceful and very demanding of what he wants and making sure that he gets that. He doesn't go into a situation if he doesn't feel like he's going to be able to have that control that he wants. That's a non-negotiable for him in his career. So I think he's a guy who is very good in creating the vibe that he wants from a group. Is he a guy who's going to be buddy-buddy with the players? No, I don't think so. Is he a guy who is going to utilize his staff to build some of those relationships and be that key link between the two? Yes. I think he's become maybe a little bit more of a manager versus a coach over the years, which is very typical. You see, in this sport especially, I think we see it in, I think, the college football a little bit, where, you know, young coaches are very hands-on in activities during the week. And as they get a little bit older, maybe they climb up that ladder on the scaffold and they watch from above, and maybe they trust their staff a little bit more to direct and be more hands-on. Maybe they oversee things a little bit more. I think as he's aged and gotten more experience and sees the game differently, I think Tata Martino has become more of that manager than that running every session on the field in a training session in a match week. So it's going to be interesting to see what his staff is like. I don't know, out of his usual people that he's worked with, who is available, who's not, if he's changed that up over the years. That's going to be a very interesting thing to watch for. And I think the other thing to keep in mind with an appointment like this, I think one of the reports out of South America is that it's an agreement for a season. He doesn't stay places very long. He's a manager who comes and goes. So I think you do have to, if you're Atlanta United, think about, okay, can he come in and stabilize this and get it better and build And that could be a 2-year process. But is he going to be here past 2 years? He wasn't the first time. He hasn't been anywhere at the club level since he was here. I don't know. So can you start succession planning while building with Tata Martino? Is that possible? And that's going to be another interesting thing to watch for during this whole process.
Well, before I let you go, I think, again, a nice segue into my final question is, this is
I read your mind sometimes.
Yeah,
Chris.
No, it's true, Jason. This is a league in MLS where you can make an abundantly huge turnaround in a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's a key thing. I mean, you're seeing it with Philadelphia right now. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They were the Supporters Shield winners this year. They're already into the next round of the playoffs. It can happen. And the question with this roster is, how can you create that flexibility if you want to go make big swings and bring in players? You know, are there players that Tata has worked with in Miami that are available? Are there players that he worked with at the Mexican national team after he left Atlanta available? Other players? That's going to be a big question, because when you go through the Atlanta United roster as it sits today, yes, there are some option decisions to make. But the majority of your, let's say, top 15 players, your starting 11 and your main substitutes off the bench that you're going to see play a lot of minutes, the majority of your front end of your roster is under contract through this upcoming season, at least. So do you try to transfer guys? Do you try to trade guys? Do you try to create openings that way? It's going to be fascinating, because Tata Martino typically doesn't come into a situation unless he can affect building the roster that he wants to build. Now, the good thing in this case is he worked with Chris Henderson in Miami, so you have that familiarity there. He knows the league. He knows realistically what he can and can't do. He's not a manager coming in from overseas who doesn't understand the salary cap and the league roster rules, for example. So he would not take the job if he didn't have ideas about things that were realistic that he could do. You can go from not making the playoffs to being a contender the next season. It can happen in Major League Soccer. Can it happen here in Atlanta with Tata Martino? Let's compare notes when we get to preseason opening and we have a better sense of what the roster is going to look like for 2026. And see if enough change has happened where, on paper, I hate to say it, like you were going into 25 and like you were going into 24, on paper, you were seen as one of the best teams in the league. Can you be that again in 26 with some changes? We'll find out over the next couple of months.
Jason, appreciate it. As always, when can the people catch you next?
I will be on The Intersection tomorrow night with Noel White. I know we're going to be talking about Tata Martino on The Intersection. That'll be after NFL football. You can always catch me at Longshoe on social media, and then I'll be back with Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Tuesday, and I think it'll be a very special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight next week.
All right, appreciate you. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, Chris.